Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can hide it in our hearts and memorize it and meditate upon it every day. That we have a time that we have individually we can set aside to read your word. We allow the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate the scriptures that we might be able to grow better and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray now that you bless in this Sunday school hour. I pray that you would allow us, dear Lord, to learn a truth from your word today through the teaching and the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Back in Exodus chapter 14 today, Exodus 14, as we're looking at this revelation of redemption that is throughout the book of Exodus, as we have seen in previous weeks where the Old Testament is for our example, for our admonition. We'll look at that again today a little bit. But we're looking at this theme of the revelation of redemption. And we've looked through the plagues of Egypt. We've looked how God has shown Himself to not only the Israelites, but also to the Egyptians and to the whole world, as we saw last week, where even the people and the tribes and the promised land were fearful of these Israelites and their God. And we come today, as we left them last week, at the border of the Red Sea. They had been directed by God. Remember, we saw in Exodus 14 when we came to verse 2 where God turned their path, turned their directions, where He changed their direction to lead them to this place where it was, humanly speaking, no way possible forward. And God tells them to go forward. There's no way to go forward, humanly speaking. So they're at this crossroads where they're going to have to either go by sight or go by faith. And of course, Pharaoh's armies are there, and they're fearful for their lives, fearful for going back into captivity. They start complaining and murmuring against God's man, then against God. We've all heard the saying, I'm sure, in our lives, between a rock and a hard place. That's where the Israelites are right now. They've got Pharaoh behind them and his armies, and they've got the Red Sea in front of them with no way to cross it. No boats there to take them across. You've also probably heard the saying, between the devil and the deep blue sea. That actually has a religious origin. Exodus 14. The original origin of this phrase, between the devil and the deep blue sea, actually was attributed to Exodus 14, where it says the devil and between the devil and the deep Red Sea. And of course, that's been changed through the years. Humanly speaking, we would agree with the Israelites here. If we were just looking by sight, humanly speaking, we would agree with these phrases that the children of Israel were in a difficult place. From the eyes of carnal man, we could observe with Moses and the children of Israel that they have been directed to a path that leads to a dead end, with no possible way to escape or move forward. In addition, all they had truly done was make Pharaoh angrier. And all they could look forward to was a cruel death by Pharaoh and his armies, or to be taken back to Egypt and enslaved, humanly speaking. And we saw last week how Moses, a man of faith, stands up and says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear ye not, for the Lord's going to fight for you." You know, we in this world today are not to walk by sight. But unfortunately, we walk by sight. We take our eyes off of God constantly. We get directed by God and the leading of the Holy Spirit to a location, to a place in our lives. And we try to humanly figure a way out. Don't look so shocked. Y'all don't do that? I do. How can I think my way out of this problem? How can I pay my way out of this problem? How can I work my way out of this problem? When we should be doing this by faith. If God brought you there, God has a reason. Wait on God. Now, that's hard to do. It's easy to say, but wait on God. That's what Moses is telling the children of Israel. Wait on the Lord. He directed us here. We are not to walk by our sight, nor by our wisdom, nor by our knowledge. We're to walk by faith. We're to keep our eyes constantly on the Lord. The children of Israel were to keep their eyes on the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire and to follow the leading of God. As we go through this life today, we are to keep our eyes on the Lord. And again, that's easy to say because we can't see the Lord. None of us have ever seen Him physically, but by faith we have seen Him. And by faith we should be looking for Him. Just this morning my wife was reading something and she shared it with me about the time of the Mayflower. And I believe it was right before they landed. And they were thinking it was the time of the coming of the Lord. They were looking for the Lord too. It was almost the millennial. And they were looking for the Lord. Well, if they're looking for the Lord then, we should be looking for the Lord now. For the times now, we must be in the last days. We must walk by faith. You know, the children of Israel were not encompassed about without a means of escape. The children of Israel were not encompassed about without protection. The children of Israel were not encompassed about by their enemies. The children of Israel were not encompassed about by just making one of two difficult decisions. Do we go back to Pharaoh or do we drown in the Red Sea? That's not what they were encompassed by here in Exodus 14. They were encompassed about by the presence of God. Just as we are today. And when we are brought to a situation where we feel like it's humanly impossible to move forward, we are encompassed about by the presence of God. Look with me in Exodus 14, beginning in verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. What's before them but the Red Sea? And God tells Moses to tell the children of Israel we're going forward. That's going to take faith. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. That rod had no special power without God. Moses' hand lifted had no special power without God. It was God that divided the Red Sea. It was not Moses. It was not the rod of Moses. People trying to find the rod of Moses and say, oh, we have the rod of Moses, or we have a sliver of the rod of Moses, and they put it in a box and they worship that. No, God separated the Red Sea. God went before His people, as we saw in Exodus 13 and verse 21 and 22. He went before His people. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, that was God's presence. They could see God's presence among them. What does it tell the New Testament Christians in Hebrews 13:5? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We are encompassed about by the presence of God today. The world does not care for us. The world would love to see the name of Jesus Christ stamped out of existence and cannot be spoken of. It would love to see the liberties and the freedoms of Christians maintained in the walls of a church. We're at a battle today as Christians with the world. But it's not just that physical battle, it's a spiritual battle. Go back to Ephesians and see we're in a battle daily with spiritual powers. And to only survive that is to give it to God and say, I'm encompassed about in Your presence. And I know You've brought me here. I'm in Your will and I want to move forward. Help me. God protected and saved His people here at the Red Sea in four stages. Four stages, and we're going to look at those today. Beginning in verse 19, we see that the first stage of how God protected and saved His people was the movement of the cloud, the pillar of the cloud. Verse 19, and the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. Well, who's behind them? Pharaoh and his armies. went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. It was most likely nearing sundown when the Egyptians arrived where the Israelites were camped. After a long, hard march and ride to catch up with the children of Israel, I can, with my mind's eye, just see them overlooking their encampment, saying, okay, we see where they're all encamped. We know where their tents are. We see that they're surrounded by the wilderness and the Red Sea. There's nowhere for them to go. We've got them. But as they're reviewing their strategies on how to take the camp and one to actually go into the camp, they see this strange pillar of cloud that was before the children of Israel, really in the center of the children of Israel, because when it stopped, that's where they camped around the pillar of cloud. They see this strange pillar of cloud in the center of the Israel camp start moving. And it moves directly between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And they're like, what strange phenomena is this? That this cloud is moving in such a way that it blocks us. And as it becomes between the encampments, and it settles like a wall behind the Israelites and around them, blocking the progress of the Egyptians, it becomes like the thickest darkness night you could see. They could not penetrate it. It was a barrier, impenetrable to their advance. But on the contrary, on the opposite side, what was it like? It was like broad daylight. All the night long, God shining His light, showing His children, I'm here, I'm behind you, protecting you, not only behind you, but around the side so they can't come around the sides at you. I'm encompassing you and leading you through the Red Sea. And then we see in verses 21 and 22 the second stage. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord, see, that's where we know it was the Lord that caused the dividing of the Red Sea. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't the rod. It was Moses. It was God. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. The second stage of God's protection for His children was not only the movement of the cloud, but the strong east wind. I want to draw your attention to it was a east wind. Now, people that will contradict the Bible and say that it can't be what it says it is, they don't believe God's word is true, and they try to find error with it, or they try to find natural reasons to explain God's miracles, they will say that this wind was not from God. This was just a natural wind. Well, I'll show you how I believe that's wrong. First, the Bible teaches that it was a strong east wind from God. This wind was not a natural occurrence, but a supernatural wind, and it has to be a supernatural wind. For first, a natural wind would not have made a wall on the north and the south sides of the river. If you think about it in your mind, thinking of a wind that's coming from the Atlantic Ocean and moving into the eastern part of North Carolina, if that was all water and that strong wind is coming from the Atlantic, going the other way. Go the other way. So we're going towards the Atlantic. If we have this wind from the east and it's pushing. No, I was right. I'm confusing myself. Strong east wind. The wind's blowing east. And it's blowing. Where is that wall of water going? Further west, would it not? A strong east wind is going to blow a wall of water, or the water, the direction where the wind's going is going west. Well, this river, the Red Sea, or it's not a river, it's a sea, the Red Sea flows north to south, not east to west. So when a strong east wind blows it, it should blow the waters right into the encampment of the Israelites. But instead, it divides. There's a wall on the north, and there's a wall on the south. That's not a natural wind. If this wind coming from the east, it would have walled the water up right in the midst of the camp of the Israelites, and they would have all drowned. It had to have been from God. And notice in verse 22, it talks about the wall. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right and on their left, indicating that the walls divided, or the waters divided on opposite directions. That means the wind divided the waters. Only God can do that. It was a special wind. And again, if this was a natural wind, capable of moving enough water so as to provide a depth to drown the Egyptians. Now you'll hear the argument, and I know I've said it in here before, but I'm going to say it again. If your Bible reads the Reed Sea, that's inaccurate. It takes more faith to believe that the children of Israel crossed the Reed Sea than when they crossed the Red Sea. So, no, they can cross the Reed Sea fairly easily. It's only ankle deep in some places, maybe waist deep in others. What drowned the whole Pharaoh's army? So, it was the Red Sea. And it was the depth of the sea. And I'm going to show you that in the book of Psalms in just a moment. If this were a natural wind capable of moving enough water to drown Pharaoh and his armies, and to bury the chariots, could the children of Israel walked against that wind? That wind, it says, was a strong wind, a strong east wind. The direction that the children of Israel were marching was eastward. I'm getting my maps directed. And as they march, what is coming ahead of them? But that strong wind, and as they're marching against that wind, walking against that wind, if it was a natural wind with such force to move water, they wouldn't have been able to march against it. They would not even been able to move. You think of, you ever seen those places where they test the wind direction of a car and the aerodynamics of a car or a motorcycle or whatever, and they got these things flowing over the car? Imagine trying to walk against that. The force and the velocity that it would take to move that water, they couldn't have walked against it. It had to be of God. Third stage, moving quickly here. The third stage we see in verse 23 through 25 of God's protection of His children. We have the movement of the cloud. We have the strong east wind. Now we have the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And God took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." When the third stage we see here is there was a storm. And we don't see that here in this portion. We have to go to another portion of Scripture to see this storm. So turn with me to Psalm 77. In Psalm 77, we can't read the whole psalm, but let's begin in verse 11. Psalm 77, verse 11, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that dost wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee, they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. What is that? Rain. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. What is that?
Thunder.
And thine arrows also went abroad. What is that? Lightning. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lighted the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path is in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. When the children of Israel are coming to the other side, Pharaoh and his army, as the children of Israel move into the sea and keep moving, the cloud that had moved behind them is following the children of Israel. It's encompassing them, behind them. And as the pillar of cloud moves behind them, the Egyptians are seeing the encampment of the Israelites is being vacated. The camp of the Israelites is no longer full. The children of Israel now in the middle of the Red Sea, they're walking into the sea and it's divided. As the pillar of cloud moves behind the children of Israel, the Egyptians can see the march of the Israelites as the cloud moves behind them. And so with anger and with fury and with frustration, they race into the midst of the Red Sea after the children of Israel. Of course, we've already read how God was protecting them and dividing these two. They could not have reached the children of Israel. God had divided them. But now we see not only God is protecting His children by a pillar of cloud, and not only is He protecting His children by the strong east wind, but now He is causing a storm to come up to hamper and to hinder the progress of Pharaoh and his armies. So when the Egyptians would see that wall of cloud moving forward, you know, they're realizing Israel is escaping out of our clutches. So their camping ground has become vacant. They are entering the seabed and walking through the midst of the water. And so their rage just boils over and they're not even thinking. They just race after them in a reckless type pursuit. Josephus, one of the ancient Jewish historians that we have recording things for us, describes the showers of the rain that began to fall with thunder and lightning and flashes of fire in the skies. And here we saw in Psalm 77 how God has brought His rain and His thunder and His lightning upon Pharaoh as God's hand is leading the children of Israel by Moses and Aaron. And then it said in Exodus 14 again, and verse 25, the chariot wheels are beginning to sink into the mire, into the mud, because the rain now is soaking into the dry seabed, and the seabed is becoming wet, and the seabed is becoming mud, and those chariot wheels are heavy, and they're going into the ruts of the seabed, and they're beginning to see, hey, we're not making progress now. And those chariot wheels begin to sink deep in the soft ooze of the seabed, and rapid movement and escape becomes almost impossible. God is protecting His children by the pillar of cloud, by the strong east wind, and by the storm. And now, lastly, He is protecting His children in verses 26 of Exodus 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. God also protected His children by the returning tide of the water. When Moses, by the direction of God, stretched out his hand over the sea a second time, the wind lulled and the waters withdrew. which had held back rushed back together. The parting waves leapt and encumbered the parted waves as they're crashing together, are crashing in that empty void that had been left open by God, has now been filled with water. And what is in the midst of that void but Pharaoh and his army? And they are encumbered with all this heavy armor and their war instruments and their chariots that they just sank into the midst of the waters. Look at Exodus 15. As Moses begins to sing a praise to God, look, and we'll just look at a few verses here. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, and the flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst bellow thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters, never to escape, never to hinder or harm the children of God. Explain away this as you will, and people will try to explain this away. There can be no reasonable doubt that the deliverance of Israel from the clutches of their enemy was by divine power. The Lord saved the nation of Israel. Look at verse 29 of Exodus 14. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. That's a miracle in itself. Not even mud. They walked on dry land in the midst of the sea. The waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel. The Lord saved Israel. That day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people, the children of Israel, feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Once again, God proved Himself to His children. I will protect you. I will encompass you in my presence. The effect of this mighty act upon the people of Israel was immediate and dramatic. They were ready to move forward now for God. No longer to be chased by the Egyptians. Turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And let's apply this to Christians today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, Moreover, brethren, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. If we look at this passage and apply it in our practical Christian lives, the deliverance of Israel from the Red Sea illustrates the absolute sufficiency of our God to protect us and deliver us. Believer, today you may be hemmed in on every side. You may feel the pressures of the world against you. A Red Sea of trial and trouble may confront you. But let us remember that Israel, God, is our God. He says, I changeth not. Exactly on time, God will be there. Exactly when we need Him, God will show us the way forward. We must wait on Him. We should take comfort, though, in a promise given by Isaiah, God to Isaiah, in Isaiah 43. Let me read that to you. In Isaiah 43, in verse 2, the Word of God says, When thou, personally, passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall thy flame kindle upon thee. God says, I am encompassing, child. I am encompassing you with my presence. I will protect you. God can protect His people in the greatest difficulties and dangers and make a way of deliverance for them out of the most desperate situations. But it's only by walking by faith and trusting our God. Where are you at today? What is encompassing you? What is pressing upon you? What is surrounding you? Where has God led you? You feel like is a dead end and you can't move forward. First, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He will fight for you. Wait on the Lord, knowing the promise where He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is encompassing you with His presence. And here in Isaiah, He gives us this promise where He says, when thou passest through the waters, whatever those waters are that He wants you to pass through, I will be with thee. He's with us all the time. He's not going to desert us. He loves us. Why would He bring us to a place and desert us? That's not God. He is our all-sufficient God. If you have trusted Him as your personal Savior, if you have asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior and forgive you of your sin and asked Him to come and dwell your heart, guess what? He has. And you can't lose it. It's eternal. You are His and He is yours. And He wants to help you live a joyful life, a victorious life. But you can only do that by not walking by sight, but by walking by faith. Whatever Red Sea, whatever enemy is encompassing you or following you and feels like it's right on your back, God's encompassed you. He's right there, ready to deliver you. Just wait on Him. Heavenly Father, we love You. I know there are days where it feels like everybody's against us. The pressures of the world are on us. Pressures of work are surrounding us. The temptations of the world are beating at our door. Help us to remember, Lord, that You are encompassing us. You are surrounding us with Your power and love and sufficiency, and You want to deliver us. And then help us to walk by faith, step by step, not leaps of faith, but step by step. Help us to walk by faith, trusting you for the deliverance. Bless the next hour. Bless Junior Church, Tyler Church, Teen Church. Bless our sanctuary here at the preaching of your word. Speak to hearts. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to use our pastor. Help him to yield to you. Give us all what we need today in Jesus' name.